So what has Christmas meant to you so far? Who was wished a happy Christmas the earliest this morning? Who was wished a happy Christmas the earliest? What time? Just gone 12 o'clock. 12.01, 02, 03. I think Tom got it at 12.04 this morning, wasn't it, Tom, I think? 12.04, 12.05. Anybody else? So who, after they'd gone to bed last night, stroke early this morning, woke up first this morning? You did! Martin was up first, no? 5 o'clock?
No,
7 o'clock? 5 o'clock? Oh, wonderful, isn't it, eh? Some good. And so what have you been doing so far? Has anybody opened any Christmas presents yet? You have. What have you got then? A new jumper? No? Two books, craft kits and some sweets. Slippers and a book. Well, you can tell we're getting older, can't you? Yeah, slippers in a book, eh? Slippers in a book. We need slippers to keep our feet warm, don't we? What have you got over here? Did you get anything? What's these funny things you've got in your hand? Is that something you opened this morning? That's your one. And what does it do? Can you just come out here and show us? Because I haven't seen one of these things before. Has anybody else seen what is it? Does it take off? Are you sure? It looks like it might take off, doesn't it, eh? My word. Oh, right, okay. And there's another one over here as well. Wow. And, oh dear, oh dear. Caitlin's got a present as well. Oh! Oh, isn't that lovely? Do you like that? Is it nice? Is it nice? It's lovely, isn't it, eh? That's wonderful. Now, I wonder what we could do this morning to celebrate Christmas. We ought to have a baby Jesus in the crib. You have got one. Do you think we could put a real baby in the crib this morning? What do you think? Is anybody willing to come in the crib? Because I think it would be good to tell another part of the story this morning. I'm going to take this Jesus out. Do you want another Jesus to go in the crib? Who's the youngest baby here? We got one that's... One? Yeah? You going to go for it? Go on, Caitlin, go on. Now, I wonder if, I think to tell this story, I might need some help. Is there anybody that would like to come out the front and help me with some actions? No? It involves walking up and down stairs. Or pretending to. And knocking, anybody good at knocking on doors? Anybody good at knocking on doors? Oh, well, that's right then. Caitlin's in, so we're okay. So I'd like to tell a little story about somebody that was present. Well done, that's brilliant. I think we'll start. No, you could start that. Are you good at pretending to be asleep? Could you? Is anybody good at pretending to be asleep? Graham, wake up. Right, so what I think, because there's lots of people in the story about Jesus, isn't there, at Christmas? And so I'd like this morning, I thought it'd be a good idea if we could retell the story of the innkeeper. So the innkeeper went to bed after the end of a busy day. Oh, look, they're doing a good impression. Oh, very good. And then all of a sudden, there was a knock. Come on, you can do this with me. You've got wooden things in front of you. There was a knock on the door. Who's that? Said the innkeeper. And he got out of bed. He went down the stairs. Coming down the stairs. And he opened the door. Oh, dear. Who's at the door? And it was a young couple. And the lady was pregnant and expecting a baby. And he said, I'm sorry, I haven't got any room here, but there's place in the stable round the back. Can you go round the back? Oh dear, I've lost them now. No, come back. And then the innkeeper, You're supposed to be being the innkeeper, not the Mary and Joseph, but don't worry. So the innkeeper then shut the door, went upstairs, and went back to bed. Wonderful. And then a few minutes later, there was another knock on the door. So the innkeeper got, oh, what on earth is that? Get up out of bed, go down the stairs, and open the door. And it was Joseph, and he said, have you got another small blanket, please? Because my wife's just given birth to a baby. So the innkeeper gave Joseph a small blanket, shut the door, and went back up the stairs and went back to bed. And then what happened next? What do you think happened next? She knows the story. There was a knock on the door. Oh no, what next? Said the innkeeper. So he went out of bed, down the stairs, opened the door, and there were a load of shepherds there with some sheep. They said, we've come to see the baby. Round the back, said the innkeeper to the shepherds. And the shepherds went round the back to go and see the baby, and the innkeeper went back upstairs into his bedroom, laid down, tried to get some more sleep, and then there's another knock on the door. What on earth is that? He said. So he went downstairs again, opened the door, and there were some wise men. They said, we've come to see. Round the back! He said, go round the back! Oh, he was fed up with this. And then he went back to bed. But then there was this massive bright light shining through his window. He couldn't see. He said, what on earth is going on here? I've had enough of this. And he got up. He went downstairs. He thought, I'm going to sort out those people in the back. And he went round the back. And he went into the stable. And when he got to the stable, he saw the baby Jesus. And he said, he was just about to get very angry. But when he saw the baby's face, what did he do when he saw the baby's face? What do you think? Hello. He thought, wow, what a wonderful baby. And he was so excited that he went back round to the inn and knocked on all the doors and woke up everybody else and said, come and see the baby. Come and see the baby. It's a wonderful baby. And Caitlin's enjoying being in the manger this morning, isn't it? So that's a little bit of the story of the innkeeper on that first Christmas night.
Our first reading is taken from Luke 2, verses 1 to 14. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." Praise be to God.
This reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through to verse 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The journey is finished. We've made it. We've made it. We've got to Christmas Day. And we're still here. Well, some of us feel perhaps that we've lost a few bits on the way to Christmas Day this year, and others may think that they still need to lose a few more bits along the way. But in general, we've made it. We've got to Christmas Day. And for some people this year, that's an incredible achievement. To have made it to Christmas Day this year with all that's happened in our lives or in their lives is an achievement. And it never ceases to amaze me when I talk to people who have been going through real hardships that they manage to survive. I always feel humbled because to me they're going through so much more than I feel I've ever had to go through. That's what it feels like. Last Saturday, I was able to take a couple of food hampers to people through the good work of Revival Christian Church in Enfield. And I was stunned at the reaction from two of the women that I took food hampers to, who were in tears at receiving a parcel of food for Christmas. I don't think about spending money on food. It's not a problem for me. But there are many people within our community for whom it is a problem. Do we know who they are? Are they sitting around us this morning? Mary and Joseph made it. They got to Bethlehem, and now the child has been born. It's finished. The baby is in the manger. Except it's not, is it? It's actually just the start. Jesus came into the world to bring peace and joy, to share God's love. And that message, that need, still has to be given, still needs to go out. So the question we need to ask ourselves this Christmas is not whether we've made it or not, but simply, where do we start? Where do we begin to plant seeds of hope into the community we live in? Where do we start to share the love of God with others? Who do we start with? One of the earliest heart-wrenching moments from my own life that I remember is watching what is now a seriously old film. I'm wondering if you can guess. Which has a soundtrack which starts with the words, "Where do I begin?" Well, somebody was saying, oh, that's right. Where do I begin to tell the story of how great a love can be? The sweet love story that is older than the sea, that sings the truth about the love she brings to me. Where do I start? It's a film for those of you who haven't encountered it. And I looked it up and it was 1970, that it came out? 1970. Sorry, I'm feeling old now. But it's about a young couple who fall in love and then discover that the woman has an incurable disease and is going to die. And the film starts at the end, which is why it says, "Where do I begin?" But it is a love story that is what Christmas is actually all about. It's a love story. The babe in the manger reveals to us all what love means. God gives to us. God comes to us. Emmanuel. God is with us. And so much of what we find at the beginning is also present at the end. The gifts that the wise men bring of gold, frankincense, of myrrh. Gold showing kingship. They all follow Jesus' path through life. He's crowned as a king with a crown of thorns. Frankincense showing the priesthood. He prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, so much so that his sweat is like drops of blood. And myrrh showing healing and death. He heals so many people through his life, and then in death has his body wrapped in linen cloths with spices, including myrrh. The Christmas story traditionally also includes a... what animal? What animal do we find in the Christmas story? Sheep. Yeah, we got sheep. Donkey. But the donkey's not in the biblical account, just in case any of you are wondering. There was no donkey in the biblical account, but we'll ignore that for a moment, because there is also the donkey on Palm Sunday when Jesus goes into Jerusalem. And then something that you actually might not realize or know, but actually Jesus doesn't move very far in his life journey. There was no room at the inn, is the story we're told about that first Christmas. But the word translated into the English as in the original Greek, it's not my knowledge, I picked it up from somewhere else, just in case you're wondering, is the word kataluma. It's only used twice in Luke's gospel. One, where it says there's no room at the inn, and the other room, the other reference, is to the upper room, where Jesus shared the Last Supper with his friends. The thinking is that actually it's possibly that there was no room in the upper room, the guest room in the house where Jesus was going to stay, which is why, or Mary and Joseph were going to stay, which is why they were underneath in the place where the animals were. So Jesus moves from being born in the place where the animals were on the ground floor to the upper room before going to be crucified on the cross. Jesus starts his life in the hen house, so to speak. And then at the end, he shares a meal with his friends upstairs. Bread and wine together, one and all. Not a long journey in so many ways, and yet in other ways, a very, very long one. So what of our lives? How many of us may have traveled many miles and yet returned to the place, the area of our birth? How many of us have lived in the same house all of our lives? I know that there are some who have. Where have our journeys taken us? Where they have taken us may have little meaning unless we have been changed in the process. Changed into the people that God wants us to be. Whether we have become children of God, messengers of love and peace. Have we become the people who can still today adore the Christ child and carry the message that he brings to the world that still needs to hear that message? God's love story doesn't end at Christmas. This is only the beginning.